Copy, 4DJW, mobile. Still listening. What line yet? We're on the just passing the Flat Rock Tuxedo exit, exit 5. Oh, you're over there near James, KK4JFO. Nice up here. I bet it is. Probably a little cooler than it is down here. My temperature gauge says 70 down in the valley. 3 degrees Celsius less up here. Into Hendersonville. On exit 53 there and head down towards downtown where I guess there's a Publix and something else down that way, but the barbershop's on Israel Street. W4DJW, have you been to the, or is it still there, the hobby shop in Hendersonville? I used to make trips up to Hendersonville just to go to their hobby shop. Pretty sure where that is. Coming from our direction up there, as you were entering Hendersonville, it was on the right. I remember that, on the main road that you used to enter Hendersonville, on the south side of Hendersonville, on the right. That's all I remember. It's been too many years ago. So a blank spot, and I'm just prior to exit 7, and I can just barely hear what you're saying. Okay, and you're getting a little scratchy, too. We'll wait till you come up out of that hole you're in. You're in a shadow right now. Try it again in a few minutes to see if you come out of that shadow. Be a mobile.
W, this is KG4OHU.
KG4OHU, W4DJW. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. I normally talk on the Spartanburg repeater. I have my old rig back in my truck. I was just seeing how well I got into Greenville.
Getting into Greenville really, really good. KG call, you've been at this for quite a while, huh?
Was pretty active about 10, well, more than that, years ago, and then I took a little break, and now I'm back at it. My wife's interested, too, so that makes it all the better.
I went to Spartanburg to get my license. When I was studying, when I was ready, I was ready, and I looked up who had the next upcoming test session, and I went to Spartanburg. That was the first test I took, and then the second one, I did the same thing, went to Atlanta to test. So I'm familiar with your guys' club over there. That's a nice club, but that was like 14 years ago.
Believe it or not, I've talked to several of them a long time ago, and I've talked to several of them now this time, and I've never seen any of them face-to-face.
Many times. I went over there, I guess it's 16 years ago now, and took my first three tests. I took the novice, the technician, and the general, and my code test. Took my first four tests. I had to do the code test, too. Back then, you had to do code. So four tests, and I got my general, and then about 6-9 months later, I went down to Atlanta and got the extra. But I tell you, when I was over there, they must have thought I was crazy, because when I was taking my code test, my arm was bouncing off the table just from me being so nervous. So I couldn't keep the pencil on the paper.
I was supposed to go Tuesday to take my general test. I've had my technician for 20 years this year, and I finally got an HF rig, and now my wife wants to get involved, but I just wasn't ready. You know, work and life and everything else. I should have just gone and tried it, but I'm going to wait till June now.
So she got her license now, or is she just studying?
She's studying for technicians, you know, and I like her perspective. She said, I don't want to just pass the test, I want to understand it.
That is really good. That makes a world difference right there. It's a license to learn, right? So that's your start. That's your first step of your learning experience. So don't waste it. I like that.
I've been involved in, you know, I teach computer science and electronics and everything, and I've been involved in communications all my life, but there's a lot of specifics behind ham radio that I really need to reassociate myself with.
Do for a living. What you teach is what I do. So that's pretty cool. My office is in San Diego, California, and I'm here in Greer. I've only been to in the last 6 years, I've only been in the office four times.
Job, KG4OHU.
W4DJW. Well, I was thinking about in retirement becoming a teacher. I don't know, though. What's it like?
in the right school, it's wonderful. And in the wrong school, it's not wonderful.
Well, that's the same thing with computer science in the work world. It's exactly the same. You described it to a T. It all depends on who you're working for and whether they know what they're doing or not.
Since in the military and, you know, since out in the industry, and I always go back to the classroom. With the right administration and the right set of kids, it's a... Plus, you get 3 months a year off, so you can't argue with that.
What age group?
You're taking college a couple times, but I always drift back to high school kids. I really connect with them for some reason.
Get the junior technical college over off of 290.
Enrollment classes for Spartanburg Community College when I taught at the Career Center in Spartanburg, and then I taught at Piedmont Tech for a couple of years. But now I teach at a private school in Greenville.
The private school?
Yeah, that kind of makes a difference because the kids are a little bit more serious, and you know, their parents are paying a lot of money. Plus, the administration is very supportive. So, yeah, I hope I can ride this one out to retirement for sure.
Well, I know a long, long time ago, I went to my son was having trouble in class, so I took 2 weeks of vacation. That 2 weeks of that year's vacation, and I went to spend it with him in class. And boy, did I get an education!
Good and bad in a lot of different ways, but like I said, I've thoroughly enjoyed my 3 years so far. I've been teaching in private school.
Science, how, in those classes in high school, how, I didn't take any of that in high school. I waited till I was out. How far do they go? Do they get out a C compiler, or is that, or a Java compiler, or is that too advanced?
What's called AP Computer Science, which is Java, and just basic code. We don't get anything into the graphical end of it. And then in my electronics and robotics classes, we primarily use Arduino, but we do some Raspberry Pi as well, which is all based on C++, which is my understanding.
Right up my alley. I've got a 24-cluster node of Raspberry Pis that's crunching 24/7 by 365 for Rosetta at home and Einstein at home. Doing gravitational wave analysis and protein folding for COVID and other, you know, COVID is just one of the things that Rosetta's folding for. I got 24 Raspberry Pis crunching 24/7 by 365. They've earned, among themselves, they've earned 20 million credits worth of crunching in 1 year. So, yeah, I love the Raspberry Pi and the C++ compiler. I use it all the time, just about daily. And then the Java stuff, I was just curious. Back when I was learning it, there was no Java. Right, Java came along earlier, and it was C, and then C++ came along. My first teacher taught us how to, and it was really cool. You know, after our Hello World and that stuff, we got into some graphical programming where you could actually control the hardware on the board. And we built transparent windows where you could grab it with the mouse and slide the window across another window and see through one window and see the other window behind it. And when we got to that point, I was sold. I cashed in my mechanical engineering degree for a computer science degree. I went straight at the end of that class. Before that class, I told them, no, I don't need computers. Who needs computers? At the end of that class, I went and changed my major.
All of us electrical guys, we kind of got you either learn code or you died, basically, about 10, 20 years ago, easily.
That is the hard part about the industry, is you got to keep up. If you don't keep up, it's like math, right? If you don't continue to use math, you lose it. I know when I was working for Michelin, I was doing CAD-CAM modeling and design, model, and build. And if you didn't keep up with the math, you would lose it. You'd get rusty in a heartbeat. That's the same way with the computer stuff.
I have a specialty. It's hardware, software, interfaces. And, you know, like the pure computer science, like data manipulation and all that stuff, that's just not my... I can't visualize it. But, you know, when hardware interfaces with software, that's obvious to me. That's kind of my niche, I guess.
Did before DJW. That was a piece of it that when I was programming for Michelin, I didn't understand how that worked, and I always wanted to. So later, when I became a ham radio operator, I said, I'm going to figure that out. And I went and bought me some stepper motors and some stepper drivers and got out the C compiler and started linking to some routines and programming my own two-axis satellite antenna tracker. So downloaded all the paths of all the satellites, right, 2 days in advance, 2 days worth at a time. And I would pick the next satellite that's coming over the horizon and line the antennas up on that satellite and track it all the way to the other horizon. And then who's next? Swing the antenna around and grab the next one. That was fun. I learned all about interfacing software with hardware.
I teach two AP classes a day. That's pretty much my world right there. Somebody's probably already done this, but I thought about doing the same thing with, like, the ISS hookups on the, what do they do, 2 meter up and 440 down or something like that?
That's a combo for different satellites and for ISS. Jerry knows them, N4DJC. If you ever listen on this repeater much, he knows them pretty much by heart. I don't. I just learned them. So what you have to do is you've got many, many things to track, and people can do it with a one handheld antenna and one handheld radio. They're able to carry on a QSO. For me, I had to get a 2 meter beam, a 70 centimeter beam, and tracking, and Doppler shift for the radios. So there are two separate radios, and I do Doppler shift on one up and Doppler shift on the other one down, and it's just a whole lot, and all I want to do is be able to just key the mic and talk and let the antenna tracker and the frequency analyzer do all the work for keeping Doppler shift under control and keeping the antennas pointed at the satellites as they went over.
I've never been able to learn just by reading a book. If you give me a project and say, make it do this, I'll learn a lot doing that.
And that's how you know you learned it. Exactly. Well, I left that thing running for about 6 months, and it would all of a sudden wake up because the satellite would be coming overhead, and it would reposition it. It's sitting in my office. And finally, enough of those that come over. What it did when you get those rare satellites that go directly overhead, it would have to spin the x-axis 180 degrees. After it came up to full top, it would spin 180 degrees, and then it would let it down instead of just going all the way over. And enough of that spinning at 180 degrees really fast, and it burned up my stepper motor driver. So I had to disassemble it, and now I need some bigger stepper motor drivers and do it all again. Anyway, I'm about to put it in the garage. Your radio is working good. Good to hear you. Hope we hear you on here more. W4DJW.
DJW, KN4TFW. KN4TFW clear.
Before CEF mobile.
KN4TFW.
How are you?
Headed to the house for the weekend.
House? I won't get quite as much of a weekend, but I'll take the one day I get.
Just a little bit early, had to stop by Northern Tool to pick up some supplies.
We got one in Bowling Springs. I don't think I've ever been to it.
Yeah, it's a pretty good little store.
It looks cool, but yeah, I've just never been. I don't know why, because that's usually surprising, because I'm getting all kinds of tool places and whatnot. So even when we got the tractor supply that opened up, I had to go.
A few items I was looking for at a decent price, so I placed an order, had to swing in there and pick it up, so I left work a little early to come get it.
People work early anyway, 72 degrees.
And Mom will be getting off in a few minutes, so I might have to jump out of here and answer a phone call.
This warm weather, it makes me want to go camping and bust out the mobile radio, see if I can do some photo. Try my hand at photo activation.
Pretty good at it.
What worries me the most is, can I keep up with all the call signs coming?
Do the best you can, and I guess write them down, right?
Do that. And maybe even, I doubt I'll I'll get a pile up first time, but you never know. I don't think any of the parks we have around here, most of them are not rare, so, yeah, like Kings Mountain's been activated like 500 times, something like that, so we'll see what we get.
Hey, we had a good one at work. A truck container didn't show up for a load, and they got to checking on it, and the ship got canceled. Yeah, Roger. Yeah, the ship that it was supposed to go on, that load got canceled.
That's crazy. What are they going to do now? Are they going to fly something over? Is it something you can fly, or are you going to have to wait for the next boat?
You're shipping it for a customer. That's up to the customer to make the rearrangements. You know what I mean? But we just had to store it on that. Because I noticed I saw an article this morning about there was 21 cargo ships anchored out there off California waiting to unload and that, and I guess every country's about in that shape, you know, dock workers sick and more ships than usual, bigger ships and not enough people, and they're just getting in the world of shape.
Feels like it's one thing right after the other. Can't get ships, nobody can get plastic, now boats not being able to dock, it's just great.
Chips and the ham radios are on that Evergreen ship that they're holding for ransom.
I read a post on QRZ last night where somebody was complaining about MFJ, you know, basically putting in an order, taking their money, and then sending them a letter saying it's going to be back ordered. And the guy was saying the exact same thing. It'll be June before they even start producing anything.
Just give you the option to, you know, not order it and wait, or go ahead and know that it was going to be back ordered before it took your money anyway. KN4TFW.
Do with that. I'm just trying to tough it out and not worry about it. And I figure when it shows up one day, FedEx, and it'll be like a big surprise then, because I won't even remember what it was.
What you were supposed to be doing with it.
I start thinking about it. I'm like, well, what was that I ordered? And I have to go look it up and remember the model, and it's crazy. I'm ready for it to get here, but unfortunately, I don't think it's coming for a while.
Came by the house yesterday on his way out, and I gave him a band chart. He was looking at it on his phone at the band chart, and it was kind of inconvenient, so I had an extra one I gave him.
Was it handy? Because there's been times, I remember whenever I was trying to learn Morse code, somebody was trying to get me to meet them on a certain frequency. I had to check my band chart, and to find out it would have been out of
hard to do.
And as a technician, you're just very, very limited to the world, what you have access to.
Yeah, especially on HF, right?
Get what, 20 and 40, if I remember correctly, for CW?
CW, I didn't look that up. I know for voice, it's just 6 and part of 10.
Exactly that, and that kind of sucks. There were some good days where 10 opened. That's kind of what prompted me to get my general was, you know, I'd do like some FT8, and I'd hear some voice conversations going on in single sideband. And but then there were the days where it just come on day after day and it was nothing. I'm like, all right, I got to do something. Because, I mean, right now my radio's just not doing me any good.
You got my license. I had an import 10-meter radio. But it was set up for, I mean, you could get a lot of frequencies on it, but it was set up for 11 meters. And that, and it's like it was, even though they called it a 10-meter radio, it was totally useless for 10 meters.
Seen some, what is it? It's not, it's kind of a CB radio, but I think Galaxy, you know, these brands, they make 10-meter radios that you can buy, but dang, I can't imagine it doing you a whole lot of good most of the time.
It's all channelized, and it doesn't tell you the frequency that it's on, and then it's all going to be on, you know, AM or FM. You can't get lower or upper sideband, and that, and it's just totally useless.
That, if you can't scroll the frequencies, because, I just can't see that working. It wouldn't work out well, at least, anyway.
It had 500 channels on it, and I've heard people on it, that I knew were out west, like me and you talking right here, and that, but, you weren't allowed to get back to them or anything, so, but, for an 11-meter radio, it was a good radio, and that, it just needs a... Something wrong with it right now, and I just need to fix it, but I ain't running it anymore. If you don't have a upper and lower sideband, even on 11 meter, it's useless for you.
Handful of days, 10, 11 meters was even doing anything. You hear them guys talking skip. It's funny to listen to. I know that much.
Wrong code.
I don't understand it, but they definitely got one.
When I was traveling a lot, just to, where the accidents were and where the traffic was backing up, and that, just so I knew ahead of time. But now, there ain't enough traffic on it to even get that information.
Yeah, I bought one for my truck before I got my license, because I just been wanting one for a while, and I kept it running for a long time, and it's rare, even when there's traffic's backed up. There's still big guys just not talking. They just don't run radios like they used to.
How many truck wrecks nowadays?
And all over the road, they're probably using their cell phones now.
If they wrecked it, it's because they just fell asleep.
Yeah. Well, Ken, I'm pulled up in the driveway, so I'm going to head on out and run on in the house. So I'm going to say 7-3, and hopefully we'll catch you at least Monday morning. This is KO4CF, and I'll be clearing your final.
Have an awesome weekend. Enjoy that day at work tomorrow. I'll be thinking about you. KN4TFW.
About me. Have a good one. KO4CF, and clear.
TFW, this is KZ1H.
KZ1H, KN4TFW.
Yeah, the name on this end is Harry, Hotel Alpha Romeo Romeo Yankee. And I'm in Rock Hill. Just thought I'd see if we could connect with each other for a moment.
Yeah, sure. I ain't doing nothing but driving to the house the next, 30 minutes or so. The name over here is Ken, Kilo Echo November. And right now I am in Lyman, headed south towards Greer on 29.
Good. Most days I could get into the repeater, W4MTK, and today's a good one. You're sounding good here.
Copy you and that, and understand you pretty good and that. A little bit of static in the background and that, but it's definitely, I can make contact.
20 watts on a Yaesu FTM400 that I've got set up at the base here, and got an antenna, a vertical antenna in the attic, so I'm doing pretty good, and you're sounding good.
Matt, so what kind of work do you do?
I'm retired. Been retired almost 6.5 years, and used to work for a telecom company over this way for 40-plus years. I've got an engineering background, and I finally got into ham radio a few months ago. Should have done it 50 years ago, but Morse code kind of got in the way. But I've been enjoying it in the last few months. How about yourself?
Yeah, unfortunately, I got about 4 or 5 more years left to go to work. But I'm like you. I got my ticket a couple of years ago, but I should have done it back in the 70s because my father-in-law at that time, he was a radio man in the Navy, and he lived and breathed Morse code and that. And if I could have got into that, man, I'd have been hooked up.
Know what you mean. I think I've gotten to the age now when Morse code is not likely to be something I can absorb easily.
Here, and when I get around to it, I'll try to learn it, and I have a couple of CDs and videos on, learning it and that, so back before COVID, they was getting ready to have a beginner's class over here in Greer, but it got canceled because of COVID.
That's typical. I think I'm much like a lot of other folks who decided that we had time on our hands, and so why not study for the ham test? And so I went ahead and did that, and took the first two and passed those in December. Then I decided to take the third one. I think it was February. I studied quite a good bit. And when I got to the third one, it was given in Gastonia. Everybody had on masks, of course. They were expecting about 10 folks for the test, and there were something like 25 people there. There wasn't even room to sit, take the test. They had to get the test in cycles. So I guess everybody got the ham radio fever.
Welcome to the hobby, and I know you'll enjoy it. I'm usually on. I'm a little bit early today, but usually I'm on from about 4:15 to 5 o'clock in the afternoons, and then about 5:30 to about 6:15 in the mornings if you're an early riser.
Going and coming to work, if you don't mind, what kind of work do you do?
Yeah, well, I've been in maintenance, factory maintenance, my whole life, but right now I'm in the parts room, and that I do all the ordering for all the spare parts. Spare parts at a chemical plant up in Spartanburg.
Out of the hot weather, wet weather, and the cold weather, so that's not a bad deal. And Spartanburg and Greenville and, of course, Rock Hill as well, we're all experiencing some good growth, but I'm really impressed by what's been done over there in the Spartanburg-Greenville corridor. You guys are hopping over there.
It's booming. Every time you turn around, there's, you know, a forest that's been taken out and houses or some kind of big factory going up for sure.
Tied to that, obviously, is what you have to deal with in mornings and evenings, which is the traffic. Plus, I-85 is always a mess, and it's gotten that much worse between Gaffney and Spartanburg, hasn't it?
Well, you know, I don't get on the interstate till right at 6 o'clock, maybe 5 till 6, and that. It hasn't been bad. I mean, I've cruised in every day, and it ain't bad in the mornings. In the afternoon, it takes me about 10 more extra minutes, I guess, to get home.
I'm a Clemson guy, and at the time I was going to school, I was living in Fort Mill, so we would drive back and forth every weekend or every other weekend, and we always, of course, hit I-85 at Blacksburg and got off around Powdersville or so, and it was being constructed even back then. I think they start on one direction, do something, and they start back in the other direction, KZ1H.
They've been working on 85 since I was in high school here in the 70s, and I don't guess they'll ever be done in my lifetime.
They'll be wide enough either. Ken, I'll let you go. I know you're driving, so I won't distract you, but I really enjoyed our QSO and appreciate you coming back to my call. Have a great weekend, and I hope to talk to you again soon. KZ1H clear on your final 73 to you, sir.
Well, 73 Harry certainly has been good, and you can call out anytime, and I'll come back to you. And I might not remember your name, might take me a couple of times, but you have an awesome weekend. I'll say 73 and look forward to the next time we meet. KN4TFW.